blessed it is for us to live in this age.
Yes.
It's a very special age. The fulfillment of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout all the ages in the past, all those who love the Lord, they are all anticipating the Lord's return. You know, of course, the Lord did not tell them that, hey, I'm not going to come so soon. You all have to wait for 2,000 years later. Can you imagine when the Lord said that to his disciples? They will all say, oh, 2,000 years. So let's all go and take a vacation. Right? The Lord is not going to come so soon, so let's take it easy. We don't have to be so watchful. We don't even have to think about it, right? So with such an attitude, you can realize that what will happen to the heart of the saints and the believers. Right? And can you imagine why the Lord didn't tell them that? Yes, the Lord was going to wait for 2,000 years for the age of the new covenant to be fully fulfilled. And also, the times of the Gentiles have to come to an end. Right? And so, certainly the Lord knew that it's going to be a long time. But he did give them some hint. Well, the Lord didn't tell them that because the Lord knew that if they have such a mindset, he's not going to come yet. So, nobody will be prepared. But, like I said, the catch is this. Yes, the Lord can wait 2,000 years. But how long do you live? You can live 2,000 years? No. 200? How long? 90 if you're healthy. Okay? But the scripture says 70, at most 80. That is what God has set there. Because, hey, human being is so fallen. Can you imagine a dictator will live for 400 years? My goodness, you'll be suffering for 400 years. Right? And so God limited the life of human beings to 70, right? In Psalm 90, right? And it says here, and if you're healthy, 80. And today, with a medical advancement, maybe 90, maybe 95, which is already very good, right? So you only have this much time if you're healthy. And nothing happens to you. But then, a lot of people passed away even as a teenager. A lot of things can happen. Accidents can happen. Right? I knew a teen in Europe and who was doing the roller skate in a roller blade. And then with music in the ears, and you only hear music and nothing else. And was crossing the track for the electric cars go by, and she didn't hear it. And you know what happened, right? There was an accident, she was hit, and right at that point, she's gone. So you never know what's going to happen. Right? And this is why the Lord, he didn't say that, behold, I'm going to delay my coming for another 2,000 years. And can you imagine if the Lord says that? Suppose the Lord tells you right now, Timo, no, I won't be back until about 100 years later. So are you going to wait for him to return, living a life anticipating the Lord's coming and prepare for the Lord's coming? You will not. Right? You will not. And so this is the Lord's wisdom, that he didn't tell us when he's coming. In fact, he even says, nobody knows the hour, the day, nobody knows except my Father in heaven. Right? So here we really need to see why the Lord didn't tell us when he's coming. But we can read in the whole New Testament and then in the history of the Christian faith and the churches, that all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, they lived in anticipation of the Lord's coming. Right. So this is the first point we're going to share tonight concerning preparing for the Lord's coming. If you have no such expectation in anticipation of his coming, well, what would you do? Right? You all went to college, many of you. If there is no exam, are you going to prepare? Nobody's going to prepare if there's no exam, right? Right? And the professor, if he didn't make an announcement, let's say, but says, well, there's going to be an exam, but I can't tell you when, what are you going to do? At least you try to be ready. Because you know, well, it can happen in the end of the semester or any time during the semester, and you only have that couple of months, right? But if the professor says next week, you won't be sleeping in the night. You'll be studying day and night, preparing for the exam. But today we are living in an age when our Lord is truly coming very soon, very, very soon. So much more we have to be not only aware of that, but we need to get ourselves ready. So let us take a look at what our Lord Jesus Christ himself told us. In this outline, there are only verses. It's always good to know what the Lord himself said. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 24. It's a very important chapter concerning the Lord's return. Remember what the Lord here says in verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. At that time, people, no one knew that the flood is coming, but he didn't know when. Right? So we really need to be warned. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. We will talk about this later. and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son be. We need to really take heed of this warning. Take heed of this warning. We have to be ready. And in verse 43, we have it here. Or 42, beginning in verse 42. Watch therefore. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, nobody knows. Nobody knows. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready.
Amen.
Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And if the Lord told them, 2,000 years later, then nobody's going to expect his return. Right. So then we really see the Lord warns them. The Lord really warns them. But the Lord also encouraged them. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. Now, another warning in verse 48. But if that evil servant, now there is a faithful servant, there's an evil servant. Which one do we want to be? If that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, that is not good to say that. We don't know when he's coming. So it doesn't really matter. Let's not talk about it. Because they've been talking about it for 2,000 years, right, Sam? And the Lord did not come. So forget about it. And, hey, that's what Peter wrote. Some are saying, hey, look, you said the Lord is coming soon, but he didn't. And some even said he already came. Right? All kinds of reasoning and Peter then told them, no, the Lord is actually not delaying, but he delayed a little bit for your sake, that you will have time to prepare. Right? So, but if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, you live like an unsaved person in the world. You enjoy the world. You love the world. You're doing all kinds of things. The master of that servant in verse 50 will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of. What's going to happen? Let's read verse 51. And will cut him. And will what?
Cut him in two.
Chop him in two. You think the Lord will not do that, right? Who thinks the Lord will do that? But it's written. So whether you believe it or not is up to you. But hey, now the Lord says, my word will not pass away. Every word will be fulfilled. Cut you in two. You'll be chopped up like mincemeat. Cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is the Lord's warning. Right. The Lord himself said this, okay. Right. So then in Matthew chapter 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. What are you? What do you want to be? Yeah. It didn't say 5 were believers and 5 were unbelievers. No. Many Christians says the wise ones are believers, the foolish ones are not believers. That's not true. Because they were all going out to meet the bridegroom, right? That's what it says, isn't it? If you're an unbeliever, will you be expecting to go out and meet the bridegroom? No unbeliever is going to say, well, I'm going to meet my bridegroom, Jesus Christ. No, they're not going to say that. But here, you can really see that all these are virgins and they are going out to meet the bridegroom. Now, those who were wise, or unwise, foolish, took their lamps but took not enough oil with them. They only have just enough oil in the lamb, but no extra oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lambs. Now that's the difference. And the oil signifies the Holy Spirit of God in the lamp. Verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, now this is important for us to know. The Lord is telling them and giving them a hint that there will be a delay of his coming. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. That means they died. In the New Testament, when a believer died, the Bible didn't say they died, but they slept. When you die, the next morning, are you going to wake up? No, you're going to sleep there in the cemetery. But when you sleep tonight in your home and tomorrow morning when the sun came out, what do? You wake up. That is why in the Bible, when a Christian passed away, it didn't say he died, but it says he slept, because there is resurrection. They're going to rise up again. The Bible is very meaningful. If you die, you won't rise, right? But if you're going to resurrect again, you're going to rise again, you're not dead, you're just sleeping. They all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves." When are you going to buy oil? You better buy it now. While you're still alive today, you have to take the chance and the opportunities, every opportunity. Pay a little price to to gain the Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord fill you up. Yeah, today is the chance for you to buy oil, because once you sleep, okay, that means once you passed away, then you have no more chance to buy oil until the resurrection time comes, but then it's too late. So the wise virgins are those who buy oil today while they are still awake. And then it says here, and they went to buy, verse 10, let's go to verse 10. And while these foolish virgins went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door remained open. No? What did he say? But Lord, those foolish virgins, they're not here yet. How about that? You think the Lord is going to wait for you? Well, you need to take the warning seriously, because the Lord is not going to wait for you. Right. So the door was shut. Remember that. The door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. What did the Lord say? Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That means you're not qualified for the wedding. Sorry. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We all need to be watchful, and this is what the Lord told us. And let's go to Mark, because there are so many verses here, but let's go to Mark, chapter 13. Now, Mark chapter 13. The Lord said the same thing here, 33-37. It's the same thing. Right, chapter 13, verse 33-37. Take heed, watch, and pray. Are you doing that? You only pray, but you don't watch. What are you watching for? Tell me. What does it mean to watch and pray? Are you watching TV? Watching TV. Watching video. But you're not watching for the Lord's return. To watch is to be watchful for His return. And for us to be watchful for His return is to make preparation. You don't just watch and look into the sky for His return. No. To watch means you live a life that is preparing for His return. Because you don't know when He's going to come. So you better get ready, right? You have to get ready and prepare. Use every opportunity to make preparation. It is like a man going into a far country. Of course, the Lord went to the heavens, sitting on the throne today. And he has a lot of work to do there. Remember in Revelation chapter 5, right? It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at a crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all. What did he say? Are you a watchman? I know people who love watchman ni, but they are not watchmen. Let me tell you, I probably know watchman ni more than my peers, okay, because I knew quite a few people who knew him, especially his brother-in-law took very good care of me many years ago in Los Angeles. I can really tell you, this man, this brother, is always waiting for the Lord's return. Yeah. Always waiting for the Lord's return. He's really one who watched for the Lord's return. And what I say to you, I say to all. That means the Lord was not just telling them at that time. The Lord in this word is telling you now. Telling us now. Watch. Are you going to do that? Okay. Praise the Lord. Watch. Luke chapter 12. Let us go to Luke chapter 12. So many verses the Lord is warning us and telling us about his return. Verse 35, beginning in verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Amen. Praise the Lord. At night when you go to bed, right, you wear your pajamas. Do you wear your belt? You gird yourself a belt? Oh, it's so uncomfortable if you put belt and go to sleep, right? But if you're working or you're exercising, you're training, you really gird yourself. You're alert. You are exercising, you're working. And here, the Lord says, you gird yourself and your lamp burning. When do you turn off all the lights? When you're sleeping, of course. When you're sleeping, nobody likes to sleep with, you know, all the lights on. I don't think you can sleep well. Do you? Who sleeps with lights on here? I don't think, unless you're scared of the night. Now, are you, as a Christian, living in such a way that you keep your lamps burning? That means you're alert. You're exercised, you're watchful, you're working, you're active, and you're not sleeping spiritually. And you yourselves, verse 36, be like men who wait for their master. Are you waiting? Or do you say, don't talk about the Lord's coming? John, you talk about the Lord's coming too often, and he's not coming. Well, the Lord talked about it 2,000 years ago. Why shouldn't I talk about it? And why shouldn't you talk about it? Are you going to talk about it or not? And how often do you talk about it? Yep. You yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him slowly. No. No, but if you're sleeping and I'm knocking, you won't hear my knocking, right? Suppose I go visit you and rang the bell and you are deep in your sleep. Are you going to open the door? No, you will say, hey, don't bother me, I'm sleeping. Come tomorrow. Won't you do that if you're sleeping? Are you going to wake up and open the door? You may not even hear the doorbell, especially if you're sound asleep. So the Lord will be knocking. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, definitely, amen and amen, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. My goodness, the Lord is going to serve you when you come. And if he should come in a second watch or come in a third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Praise the Lord. Then let's continue in Luke chapter 17, right? We have Luke chapter 17. But actually there are quite a few important verses. Okay, let's go to chapter 17, right? Let's go to 17, verse 28. Just as the days of Lot. Just as the days of Lot. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Again, it says they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. We already read that. Verse 28, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. Now it's slightly different. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, they're very busy doing some kind of a business, working, buying, selling, building. They're doing a lot of things there. And many of these things may not be bad. Like our brother shared this morning, it may not be bad. Is it bad to buy and sell? Do some business? Work for Apple or Orange. You plant, they built. Yeah. My wife loves gardening. It's good. It's a very good thing. And I really enjoy the fruits. Very good. But don't let all these good things be a distraction to you. It's so easy for us to be distracted by your job, by your business, by your studies, by your cruise. Yeah. By your families, by your children, by your house. So many things will distract you. Is it worth it? Tell me, is it worth it? And you miss the kingdom. You miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You miss the reward. You're missing the most important thing in the universe. Right? Because when the Lord comes, all these things will come to an end and will have no more value. Your sick bank account will become sin, as thin. I wouldn't say as the sanitary tissue paper, and didn't have any more value. You can't even use it to blow your nose. Your dollar bill would be just a piece of paper. You know, I remember when the Japanese took over the Philippines, well, they printed a lot of Japanese money, okay, which has no value, actually. So when the Japanese lost the war and left with all those paper, nobody knows what to do with those papers. And so it ended up to be, for us children at that time, as play money. It's not worth a cent. So this is going to happen to your Swiss francs. So what's the use of keeping so many Swiss francs when the Lord comes back? You can't use it for anything. They're too hard to use to blow your nose. Can't use it for anything. What do you want to do with it? Right? We use those little Japanese money there to play. Right? The Akiriwe. You remember? Or maybe you're much younger than I. Maybe at your time we already all throw it away. Amazing. Everything will become worthless. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Okay. So in that day, who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. Because your heart is going to be attached to all these things. And if your heart is attached to all these things when the Lord comes back, it'll be hard for you to part from your Porsche, from your Benz. It's going to be very hard for you to part from your, I don't know what treasure you have. Your heart will be bound. And so the Lord will say, okay, stay with your treasure. Amen. I'll leave it to the brothers to share about this. And let's go to 21, Luke 21. And the Lord, you see, the Lord has given us warning again and again, repeatedly. Okay, repeatedly. Chapter 21, 34. I'm going to let you read it to save my voice. Please read 34 to 36.
But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that
it will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Amen. What a warning. Take heed, lest your hearts be weighed down, bound. All these things becomes a weight on you. You want to be raptured, but you're too heavy. You're too heavy. The Lord wants to take you up to the throne with him, right? But you're weighed down with, I don't know what, so many things weighed you down, and you're too heavy. Even the Lord didn't have the strength to pull you up. You're stuck. You think you won't be stuck? Now let me ask you, today, is there anything that is pulling you down? Weighing you down? Are you stuck? We need to check ourselves. Okay, make a list and check. Yes, no, yes, no. <You see. coughs> Carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life. You're worried about this and that, anxious for this and that. And you want to make more, you want to have more. So if you do that, your heart will become numb concerning the Lord's coming. You'll be weighed down. And that day will come on you unexpectedly. So are you expecting? If not, that day will come unexpectedly for you. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will really come to pass. It is going to come to pass. And that you can stand before the Son of Man. This is what the Lord says. And then let's quickly go to the end of the book of Revelation. There are actually more verses. Let's go to chapter 22, verse 7. The last chapter of the book of Revelation. Would you please read?
Behold, I am coming quickly.
No, really. Slowly. It'll take me a long time to come back. Behold, I'm coming in 2,000 years. How quick? How quick? Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12. Yeah, please. Yeah. Oh no, come on, don't say that again. 2,000 years? Is that quick? Yeah. Would you please read? Behold, go ahead.
Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work.
Amen. When he comes, he's going to give the reward to you. Depends on you. Depends on you. I am coming quickly. Remember that. And this word applies specially to us today. Yep. And then verse 20. Please read it.
He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
So the Lord says, surely I'm coming quickly. What is your reply?
Amen.
Really? Are you going to say amen to that? Or are you going to say, oh, come on, John, he's not coming yet? What is your reply to his coming? Amen. Amen. Even so. I didn't realize my name is even there, so. Even so. We'll say amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. How often did you tell him, come, Lord Jesus? Honestly, from your heart, you tell him, come, Lord Jesus. Only a person who is waiting for him and is prepared at any time can say, come, Lord Jesus. I know many people say, don't come yet, Lord, because I'm not ready. Most of the people I heard, they said that. No, Lord, don't come yet. Oh, don't come yet. What do you say? Come or don't come? If you say come and come quickly, that means you must be ready, right? Not quite. And this is the first point I'd like to share with you all concerning preparing for the Lord's return, is to have such an attitude, such an expectation. This is why here in this page here it says, living in the anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially today in our time. From the day you wake up, from the morning you woke up in the morning, you should say, Lord, help me to prepare. I'm going to use this day to gain the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day is an important day to gain Christ. Now let's see Peter's admonition, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Even the apostles tell us that, right? What did it say? Would you please read it? Come on, Peter, you're wrong. Why did Peter write that? Tell me. Give me a good reason why Peter wrote that. Is he trying to fool the saints? Tell me. Then why did he say that? What do you think, Jasmine? Huh? But the Lord didn't come at this time. And it wasn't the end of the world. Today. But it was exactly his feeling because he was waiting for the Lord's return. It was his faith. And you have to remember, Peter cannot live for 2,000 years. But during his time, his life was a life preparing for the Lord's return. So any time he can go to sleep, so to speak, right? Yeah. That means any time he can pass away. But he is ready to meet the Lord. And for him, it's the end of everything because nothing is holding him back. What is still holding you back? Suppose the end will come. What are you going to do with so many things? What are you going to do with your business? worthless. Right? So, this is the attitude of all the apostles in those days. They are living with such an expectation that the end of everything is at hand. That means nothing is holding them back. What a wonderful attitude. What a wonderful preparation here. Preparedness. He was prepared. He was living as if the end of all things is at hand. It's worth nothing for me. He asked Peter, what is so precious for you? He says, nothing. No. Oops, I'm sorry. If I would ask you what is precious for you today, what is your agenda? What is important for you? You make a list of what is important for you. But if you ask Peter at that time, he would tell you the end of all things is at hand. And that is really what is in his heart. He is only waiting for the Lord's return, and he was ready. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Let's continue to read these verses. I just want to convince you all that all the apostles were living in such a way, expecting for the Lord to come. starting in verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So, this is what they will say, and what they were saying, and what many are saying today. Where is the promise of his coming? Have you ever asked? Lord, after 2,000 years, where is your promise? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Look, everything is still so peaceful here in California and in Canada. Right, in Canada, Vancouver, beautiful city. Nice, wonderful nature. Right? When I was there in Vancouver, you showed me how beautiful the city is, how peaceful and wonderful, beautiful, nice city. I encourage you all to visit Vancouver. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now you remember the first meeting, right? Now, let's read from 9 to 12. Please read it. Go ahead, please.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
But
the day of the Lord will come. Things will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be?
Being on fire.
And the elements will melt with fervent heat.
Amen. Can you imagine Peter saying that? All the apostles lived that way 2,000 years ago. And it, don't tell me they didn't know that, hey, the Lord will delay his coming. But nevertheless, they lived in such a way, expecting the Lord to come anytime. Verse 11 is important. Therefore, since all these things and everything will be burned up, in verse 10 also, it will be burned up, everything will be gone. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person we ought to be. Now, this is important. You cannot change overnight, believe me. Yeah. You need to be exercise, practice. To be transformed, it takes time. You cannot change your character overnight, your habit overnight. The way you speak. You cannot control your lips, your thoughts. To be renewed overnight, well, tomorrow you all of a sudden you have a new mind. No, it's not going to happen like that. To have a change of your manner of life, you have 7 years to change. How about that? How many years have you lived? At least over 50 years, right? Huh? Are you fully changed in 50 years? But quite a bit, right? Somewhat. If 50 years, it takes 50 years to change a little bit. You don't really give yourself to be transformed and to be brought to full maturity and perfection in the coming years. You think you can make it? Not easy. What manner of person ought we, not just you, it's very easy to read you. Now, I should be reading, ought I to be? In holy conduct and godliness. Amen. This is the way to prepare. If you really mean business, waiting for the Lord's return. Looking for, and not just looking for, but hastening. How? By your conduct. If we Christians remain the same and not waiting, and then the Lord has to wait. Because you're not waiting for him. So he has to wait for you. But if we are all prepared, then the Lord will jump down. He'll be so happy he couldn't wait anymore. He'll jump down. Thank you very much. You should remember, he's the bridegroom and we are the bride. But if the bride is not ready, why should the bridegroom come? You'll be ashamed the bridegroom appeared, but a bride is not ready. Yeah, thank you. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will dissolve, everything will come to an end. So today, all of these things are just for us to use, just for us to live a proper human life here, holy, in holy conduct and godliness. It's not for us to enjoy a good life and then forget about the Lord. To have a job is not to make you rich and a billionaire. If you're a billionaire, you'll be really become rotten. You become rotten. That's why it says godliness with contentment, Paul wrote, is great gain. But nobody's content. If you have your first million, you want your second million. Once you have 2 million, you want 20. That's not enough, then you want 200 million. And then you're aiming your first billion. And while you're doing that, you will be fully corrupted. And we are looking for his promise, looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Wow, hallelujah. Today, seeing all this lawlessness and unrighteousness, aren't you vexed and feel terrible? Right. Amen. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, are you? Verse 14, are you looking forward to these things? Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go now to what Paul said, because Peter introduced Paul here. Verse 15 says, and consider that long suffering, the patience of our Lord is salvation. It's a good thing that he's not coming tomorrow. Because if he does, we're in trouble. Right? Peter won't be in trouble, but we'll be in trouble. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. That means the Apostle Paul spoke concerning the same thing, in which some things are hard to understand, because the Apostle is not just talking about love, 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 and more love, and love, and love, and love, and love, and love. But he's speaking of things which are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. Now let's see what Paul says concerning this matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 29. Amen. But this I say, brethren, the time is still very long. You still have much time. Yes? Really? I think he's mistaken. Don't you think he's mistaken? 他是不是搞错了? The time is short. 2,000 years is very long, but your time is very short. How short? I don't know. I'm glad I lived a little bit longer than some, because some have a very short time. But what is the use if I have a few more years and I'm not using it to prepare myself? So what's the use of having a few more years? It's the same, right? 70 years or 7 years. Doesn't make any difference if you're not preparing. The time is short. Now, let's go to chapter 16 in 1 Corinthians, verse 22. So, is the time long or short? The time is short. He says here, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. And then he says, oh Lord, wait, don't come so soon. What does he say here? Oh Lord, come. And here in Aramaic, Paul wrote it, this word in Aramaic language. Maranatha. Maranatha. Have you been to my home? Have you? Right at the door, on the exit. What does it say on top? Maranatha. A dear brother made that for me. I didn't know who did it, but after one conference, I was talking about Maranatha, and somebody made that wooden sign with golden snit letters. Says Maranatha. It's good. You all need to have that kind of a sign to remind you the Lord is near. He's coming. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's go to Philippians. We have 5 more minutes. Let's hurry up. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men.
The Lord is at hand.
Really? I think it's very good for us to greet each other now. Not hello, how are you, but oh. John, the Lord is at hand. George, the Lord is at hand. Muchang, the Lord is at hand. Maranatha. How about let's greet each one with Maranatha? To remind one another. Jasmine, when you give me a call, you should say, Maranatha, Grandpa. And I will tell you, the Lord is at hand. Well, those will be wonderful greetings with one another. Why did Paul have such a greeting? Because that's in his heart. He was living with such an attitude, expectation, anticipation, the Lord is at hand. Now, if you live in such an anticipation, you will not waste your time. You will redeem the time to gain Christ, to prepare yourself for His coming. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Of course, everybody knows Hebrews. We just went through the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, remember that meeting together is important. I don't mean that, you should come to every meeting. No, no. But be reasonable. As is the manner or habit of some. Because if you keep on skipping and skipping and skipping meeting, it becomes a habit. Or if you keep on coming late and late, and it becomes later and later. as the enemy becomes a habit, as the habit of some. But exhorting one another, don't be mad if somebody exhorts you, okay? Oh, sorry, how come we didn't see you in a meeting last week? Don't be angry. Why, are you watching me? Are you trying to tell me what to do? I'm offended. Goodness. Will you be offended? Somebody calls you, eh? We missed you last week. You're forcing me to come to the meeting. I'm offended. Don't call me again, okay? Unless you apologize. My goodness. Don't think there's no such cases. I'm not making it up. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see. Really? Are you seeing the day approaching? Do you appreciate all these verses, Shirley? How about you, Mercy? Very much. Oh, wow, I'm so happy to hear that. Right. Because it's there, it's written there, but we missed it. We jump over it. We don't pay attention to these verses. In verse 37, for yet a little while, just a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Amen. Wow. What a wonderful writer of the Bible. They really live in the anticipation of the Lord's coming. This is the way we should live today. If they lived in such an anticipation in those days, 2,000 years ago, approximately, 1,900 years ago, how much more should you be living in such a way in anticipation of the Lord's coming today? With all the signs here that you have seen fulfilled, the signs of time that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Or don't you agree with that? I don't really care if you agree or not. It's written here. Whatever is written is important, not whether anyone agrees or disagrees. And then we have 1 Thessalonians. Especially 1 Thessalonians, Paul in every chapter actually mentioned about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can read it yourself. I don't have to really read it. But let's just go to chapter 5, verse 23, a very well-known verse. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In all of the book of Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Paul, almost in every chapter, mention about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentioned this to a young church, the church in Thessalonica. That means nobody is too young to know this. Even my grandson there. You need to know our Lord is coming soon. How about James? Let's go to James. Every one of them. James chapter 5. Somebody read that, verse 8 and 9.
Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door.
Wow. Do you like to grumble? you like to grumble against one another, criticize one another, talk about one another. You like to grumble this, grumble that, grumble this. Miss Grumbling. Miss Grumble. Mr. Grumble. We like to grumble. That means you complain about everything. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. That means it's very, very near. If somebody is standing at the door there, that means he's about to come in. Right? And again, James said the same thing as other apostles. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now let's go to Jude. A very short, part of the Bible here, Jude, just one chapter. 17 to 21. Somebody read it, please, for me.
But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, amen, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, meaning to say they are looking for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Then, of course, 1 John chapter 2. Let us read again. Read 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, even shorter. The last hour. How about that? And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, but even now many Antichrists, the spirit of Antichrist is there, have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Praise the Lord. Right. This is the last hour. So all of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they all lived in the anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to live in the same way. How about you? How about all of us? Right? Amen. This is the first meeting concerning the preparation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have such an anticipation, I don't think you will feel the necessity to prepare yourself. It'll be just a doctrine for you. Amen.